So my name is Simon May. I'm a technical program manager on the Intune product team. So Brad Anderson, who did the keynote yesterday, is my boss. It's an interesting organization to work in. We get to use lots of very new stuff in order to make this kind of stuff work so that we can get from the place of where we are with Intune to being able to support every operating system the day that it comes out. This is a deep dive session on managing iOS and Android devices for Office 365 using Microsoft Intune without compromising user privacy, which is actually a pretty tall order, particularly to do a deep dive session. So before we get there and start off, I just need to know a little bit about you folks before we go too deep into this stuff. Who's using Office 365 today? Okay, that's a good sign that everybody put their hand up. Who's using Microsoft Intune today? Okay, so about half the room-ish put their hands up for that. And of those folks that are using Intune, are you using, I'll throw some acronyms out there, using Conditional Access and MAM? No. Okay. Right. So we're going to go through a whole load of this stuff to explain where these things land for you. For those folks that, also, this is also important, who is licensed for Enterprise Mobility and Security, EMS? Okay, hopefully that's all the same people that put their hands up for Intune. But obviously there's a few more hands there, so you probably have some things you're not yet using. So hopefully by the end of this, you'll have some reasons why you want to. So what we're going to do is very quickly just go through some of the questions that IT should be asking themselves, hopefully that's you folks, about how to protect the information that's inside of Office 365. We're also going to ask some of those questions that users ask. Then we're going to have a look at what it is that users and IT ultimately want from this kind of a solution. They are almost entirely at polar opposites of each other, with IT wanting things to be nice and restricted. Well, the best possible answer there for IT is to turn everything off and go home. That is going to make it the most secure. Users probably don't want to do that. They probably want to be able to actually do their jobs on a regular basis. We're going to go through parts of the solution which are essentially conditional access and mobile application management inside of Microsoft Intune. We'll go much deeper on those. Please feel free to ask questions all the way through this. Just put your hands up and I'll repeat the question. That said, if you are a little bit shy and you want to come up at the end, then feel free to do that. And I'm more than happy to answer any questions here or afterwards on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever you want to hang out. Probably not Snapchat. Okay, so let's start off with this problem. These are the questions that IT should be asking themselves when a user is trying to get access to Office 365 resources. Is the user accessing the service compromised? Has something happened to that user account? Well, there's a pretty good chance that maybe it has. There are some services out on the internet which will help you to be able to discover if your users have been compromised in some way. Azure Active Directory will also do that for you, and it will tell you when you have users who have had their account credentials and username and password leaked onto the internet. It is incredibly easy to go and find username and password combinations on the internet if you want to do that. It's also incredibly easy to go and buy corporate credentials for pretty much every single company on the planet today. They vary in price. You can pick up personal username and password combinations for about, in American dollars, about 23 cents. If you want to get a DOD, a US Department of Defense username and password that is guaranteed to work, that will cost you about $500. So things move between these two scales. There is a very high chance that your organization has users that have been compromised, that have leaked their details onto the internet. The next thing that you need to be thinking about is the device that is accessing the service compromised? So with iPads, Android devices, Windows devices as well, there are multiple ways that you can compromise those devices, the most common being to root or jailbreak a device. Once a device has been rooted or jailbroken, if you don't know what those terms mean, basically it means that the user and other code on that device has complete access to do whatever it wants to do. And that is particularly bad because once a device has been rooted or jailbroken, it means it can say that it's anything. It can say that it isn't rooted or jailbroken, which means that you have to have root and jailbreak detection methodologies which are going to actually look at the device and understand whether or not it's been compromised in such a way. That also literally means that any piece of malware could be run on those devices. And one of the most common reasons for a user to take a device and root or jailbreak it is so that they can get access to shadow app stores. So if you're not familiar with the shadow app stores and you don't like paying for the games inside of the Google Play Store or the iTunes Store, you can go to a shadow app store run from China and get hold of those games for free, which sounds great, except they are laden with malware. And that malware, once it's on the device, is actually intended to try and get into your organization. Now, there is another option here as well, which is that it is not unknown at this point for people to take a device, which hopefully the user has left unlocked, or they haven't set a password on, root and jailbreak it, give it back to the user without them knowing, and then run a targeted attack against an organization. Targeted attacks are actually incredibly prevalent in the world today. If you've not done any kind of research and don't think you've had one targeted at your own organization, you really do just have to look at the news articles, and you'll see every single week almost now that there are very specific targeted attacks at all different types of companies. Then the next thing, obviously, we kind of talked about this for a second there, is the app that's accessing the service Trusted. Obviously, you're going to trust every single Microsoft application that comes from the store. But what about the other ones? What about when an app actually says that it is a word processor and it can access Office 365? Does that mean you want it accessing Office 365? Do you want it to be able to access all of the files on SharePoint? Do you want an email client to be able to access everything that's inside of your Office 365 environment from an Exchange point of view? Questions that you have to begin asking yourself. Then you have to ask yourself, what about the browser? Is the browser trusted? On an iOS device, the user basically has one choice for browser, Safari. On an Android device, they could select any browser that they wanted to. So again, on an Android device, it can be a an attack vector. But there are still reasons why on an iOS device, you may not want to use Safari. You might want to use an alternative browser. And actually, iOS makes that really hard. So you may want to have a browser connection which is always going to go back to your on-premises environment, but that is actually really hard to do on an iOS device. Then you start to get to kind of the next level of things. Is the user doing something that you want them to be able to do? So obviously inside of Brad's keynote the other day, you saw that we have this ability to be able to stop people taking data outside of the applications, being able to cut, copy, and paste data from a trusted application into an untrusted application. So that's a good way of preventing users from accidentally doing something really silly with the data that they have access to. But obviously, there is this extra layer on top of that, which is what can the app do with that data? If you're getting apps from those shadow app stores, then it's going to be able to do whatever it wants to be able to do with the data that the user has access to. So, what are the questions that look like that the users start thinking about? Does anybody talk to their users? Okay. Probably everybody should start talking to their users on a regular basis. The first one is something that when we talk to users, we get all the time. They don't trust their IT department. Unfortunately, our profession has become one thanks to many years of us forcing very heavy management payloads onto people's PCs where they don't necessarily trust people in IT. They expect that when you do an update to their machine, you're going to take out their work environment for the next 4 hours whilst Windows Update runs in the background. And sadly, that kind of extends to everything, and people don't want you managing their device. It's a really big problem. It's actually one of the main reasons why we developed a bunch of this technology, because people just don't want IT to be managing their devices. We actually see this more in Europe than we do in the US, but it's becoming a really big trend. And one of the funniest things you can do is if you search the Google Play Store and the iOS Store for things like the the MDM agents, you'll actually see that there's lots of comments on there from the end users inside of organizations that say things like, my IT department should be fired for making me use this. So we kind of had to build something that would maybe help you to get all of the management capabilities you wanted without having to go that far. And part of the reason for this is obviously there have been cases where people have actually read their employees' emails. That's actually a pretty prevalent thing out there. People get worried about, can they see my pictures on my phone? Can your IT department look at the pictures that you have saved onto your phone? It's actually pretty difficult to do that on an iOS device and pretty hard to do it on an Android device as well. But it is a possibility. Then there's the very real, what happens if my admin accidentally wipes my device? So this is where this starts to become really interesting, because users can actually store quite a lot of information on their devices that they've paid quite a lot of money for. If you think about their iTunes collection on their phone, they may have actually just downloaded a huge amount of music, and you wipe it out, do they have a backup of it? Are they able to get it again from somewhere else? It starts to scare the end users. They also kind of think, I wonder if, like, just because they've got access to my device, does that mean that they can access my Apple Pay information? Got to remember that the users that we deal with on a daily basis, they don't necessarily think incredibly rationally about the way that they're using their technology. They're just making assumptions based upon whatever is in the news at the moment. And then probably one of the things that makes it really tricky, particularly on iOS, but Android has started doing this as well now, is that you actually get in OS pop-ups. So iOS now has what has become pretty famous inside of the device management world as the scary red pop-up, which appears as you're enrolling your device. You actually get a message that says, your admin can do these things on your device. And the text is red, because Apple wanted everybody to know that IT might do things to your device. So we have to kind of live within these bounds and see what we can do in order to be able to provide a level of management which is going to work. So we came up with a few things to be able to solve these problems for you. And they kind of fall broadly into two buckets. The first one is protecting access to the data and the services. And we use something called conditional access to do that. And the second option is something called mobile application management, which is actually about restricting the capabilities of the applications that have landed onto the device. So those are the two kind of broad buckets of investment that we're going into. Of course, as Brad mentioned in the keynote yesterday, identity is actually at the foundation of everything we do. And I'll draw a diagram in a second that's going to help you understand why. But essentially, it's because the user's identity is the only thing that you can use these days as a perimeter to protect information. We don't believe that having any kind of other perimeter is going to protect the information that you're trying to look after, particularly where Office 365 is concerned. So for those folks who aren't totally up to speed on Azure Active Directory, Azure Active Directory is the directory service that stands behind your Office 365 tenant, and it looks after all of the identities for your users. They synchronize up from your on-premises environment using, hopefully, Azure Active Directory Connect. And they go into the cloud. Once they're in the cloud, there are a lot of things we can do with them. There are 750 million active users inside of Azure Active Directory, and we do 18 billion authentications every single week. It's really, really scalable. It's really, really robust. It's also been designed to be as simple for you to manage as we could possibly make it, meaning that essentially a lot of the controls that are available aren't available to you. You have to call support in order to be able to do various things inside of the environment, because honestly, we need very special access which allows us to be able to access multiple tenants at the same time. When we were looking at how we're going to make these devices more managed and more secure, obviously we had the idea of conditional access. And we looked at how can we make it so that conditional access is more pervasive. It's available on more devices and in more places. The way that we have actually achieved that is that we've actually implemented it directly in the applications that your users want to be using. So if you go and have a look in the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store, you'll be able to search for Word. You'll find that it's an application with 35,000 four-star reviews. If you want to go and get Outlook, you'll find that it's an application with 27,000 four-star reviews. If you want to go and get any other email client in the world, you'll find that they have about 200 or 300 reviews of about 3 or 4 stars. The same goes with all the word processors. And there's a few reasons for that. One is that these are the applications that people really do know and use on a daily basis. They're also the applications that people use for a personal use as well. So they will very happily, if I ask everyone to put your hands up at this point, you will all put your hands up. If you think about the application that you create your resume or your CV in, it's probably Microsoft Word. If you think about the application you write a business report in, it's probably Microsoft Word. If you think about the application where you store your household budget, it's probably Microsoft Excel. Whereabouts do you keep the work financial budget? Probably Excel. Same with PowerPoint. How do you share those pictures with your mum who used to work in an office 20 years ago but hasn't used anything since PowerPoint? Well, you're going to share a PowerPoint with pictures of her grandkids. How are you going to do a presentation at work? You're going to use PowerPoint. We use these things in both our lives. And that's what's created these amazingly strong applications and amazing reviews. But it's also created a very unique problem. We have to be able to keep those two identities separate and controlled and keep the data separate from each other. Okay, so I said I would start drawing pictures. I like drawing pictures because it's the way that we can actually express how this stuff comes together. Let's step back in time to the world before we had any kind of mobile devices. Back then, we actually had... let's use a pen. Okay. If we think of this as our network, back then we had some servers, and we probably had a PC. And that PC would talk to the servers, and there'd be no traffic at all that would go outside of our corporate network. Then after a while, people started taking those laptops home, and we had to provide access to the corporate network for them. So we started putting up VPNs and firewalls. Very simple. This was a corporate device, corporate managed, group policy. There was no way that anything was getting onto that machine except for our own software, completely configured by us. Fantastic. They go back to the VPN. We could always confirm that everything would go through the VPN, and then they'd have access to the corporate resources. Then along came these phone things. That's my attempt at an iPhone. And what happened when these came along? Well, at the same kind of time, the services that appeared in the cloud started to appear. And these devices, much more commonly, would talk to the cloud. Now, if we go back to before iOS 4, iOS 4 was the first version of iOS which actually had any kind of VPN capabilities built into the operating system. So people wanted to be using these devices for corporate use. They'd have to have access to a corporate email server, which back then was probably on-prem. So how did they do it? Well, an MDM solution would create another gateway on premises that would then be connected to your iOS device, and it would require a custom piece of software on the iOS device because they didn't understand about VPNs. And then you would have access to your internal information. And at the same time, you'd probably have access to something in the cloud. And you could try to maybe force everybody to go through the on-prem gateway and back out again to the cloud. But there was two problems with it. The first one was, well, you had to get that set up on the device. The second one was, what happens if somebody steals that person's username and password and uses it on another device? They're going to have access to that information that's in the cloud. And that starts to become very real as soon as we put 365 onto that cloud. Because now you can very quickly see that that device naturally wants to talk to Office 365 in the cloud. And by default, Office 365 is completely open to that notion. It's not locked down to talking back to something on-premises. Yes, you could implement ADFS and you could require access to that on-premises ADFS server in order to get access to Office 365, but it gets really clunky for the end user, and they decide that they don't want to use it. They end up carrying two phones around with them, and things become very strange. So what have we kind of done in order to be able to fix that? Well, I'm just going to erase a few of these lines. There we go. Everybody following along so far? I'm not going too quickly. I'm not talking too fast. Good. Okay. So what do we do in this case? Well, let's say that Office 365 and our iPhone want to talk to each other in a modern world. What happens is that the device goes up to Office 365 and says, hey, I want to talk to you. And then Office 365's first reaction is, I need an authentication token from you, because you've got to be an authenticated user in order to be able to talk to Office 365. So where does it get that from? Gets it from AAD. So the device is told to go to AAD, goes up to Azure Active Directory, and it goes and gets an authentication token. Comes back down. Now, if you're not using Intune, that's exactly what you get today. And you will then automatically have access to Office 365 resources. But you won't be able to protect against, has that user had their device compromised or the applications on that device compromised in any way, shape, or form. So what we've introduced alongside that is Microsoft Intune. And Intune and Azure Active Directory share this idea of conditional access. In fact, conditional access is an attribute on a device record inside of Azure Active Directory, which essentially says, is this device compliant? In fact, the attribute is called is compliant. Intune is the only service which can update the is compliant attribute inside of Azure Active Directory. Nothing else can do it. And the reason for that is that we've integrated those two services very, very closely with each other. So, to the point where, frankly, they have to share a lot of information like GUIDs for the identity of the device between the two, and there's a whole lot of synchronization process that has to go on. So what happens here? Our device, our Azure Active Directory says, before you can actually have access to your security token, I need to know that the device that you're using is trusted. In this case, your device is saying that it's not compliant yet, so you need to go and get compliant. So what happens there? That message comes back down to our device, and the device goes off to Intune to get compliant. Now, the way that it does that is that the user needs the company portal for Intune on the device. The company portal is what actually begins this whole process on the device. So the user is told to go download the company portal. The company portal then talks to Intune, and assuming that the device is compliant, i.e. has policy applied to it, it has not been rooted or jailbroken, it has checked in within a recent period of time, then actually what happens is the device is told, hey, you're compliant. But more importantly, Intune tells Azure AD that the device is compliant and sets that is compliant attribute. Now, when the user wants to go and access Office 365, that exact same process will go through to the Azure AD portion. When it goes to Azure AD, it'll see that it's compliant. The token gets handed back to the device and then handed back to Office 365 to access the resources. The reason that that is so secure is because actually it's all happening inside of one trusted cloud service inside of Office 365 and inside of Azure AD. And it's all part of the authentication process. There's nothing else in the way there. There's no extra security checks going on. It's just part of the authentication process. Now, we can actually extend this model one step further, because we've made some integrations with a partner called Lookout. And Lookout, if you've never come across them, are the security company that discovered the Trident vulnerability that affected iOS 9.3.4 and prior. So if you're not familiar with what that vulnerability actually did, it essentially turned your iOS device into a listening device. Really super cool. It actually, if you are running anything prior to 9.3.5 on your iOS device, you may want to get upgraded really quickly, because it means that anybody that has access to the client portion of the vulnerability can connect to your device and use it as a listening device in your meetings. The software was created so that governments could listen to each other inside of meetings that may be taking place in secret locations. It was created by a group of malware creators in Israel, and then they were selling it literally as software as a service to the highest bidders. So Brad kind of mentioned this in this keynote, but to give you a little bit of the insider on this, what they were actually doing is they were saying, hey, this is our software. You can use it to listen to these conversations. It will cost you $500 to be able to listen to somebody's conversation. You would then pay the $500, and for your $500, you would get three calls to the help desk of that company so that you could get set up with your malware to be able to listen in on those conversations. That's become one of those very, very scary things that we see. So essentially, with 9.3.5, this vulnerability was patched, and now anything from 9.3.5 or iOS 10 is safe against this. Lookout was the company that found this, and we actually, prior to this, actually started to integrate with Lookout. So what it means is that Lookout has the ability to tell Intune when a device is compliant to Lookout's policy. Now, the way that Lookout works is it has an agent which sits on your device, and the agent, once it's activated, will be scanning the device. Now, they scan something like 500 million devices every single day, and they actually pick up malware, more malware than virtually anybody else that's doing that kind of malware scanning. And what they're actually doing there is they're looking at the heuristics of what's happening on the device to pick up whether or not somebody's device is doing something, running something in the background that shouldn't have access. If it does pick something like that up, the Lookout cloud service is told, hey, this device is non-compliant. Lookout then tells Intune that the device is non-compliant, which then tells Azure Active Directory that the device is non-compliant. So it looks roughly like this. There's a conversation going on this way, and a conversation that way. So that now means that we have a solution which is going to look at whether the device is healthy, whether the application itself is healthy, right down to the very end point. There is one other thing that we've done as well, because all of this at this point has required a device which is registered with MDM, with Microsoft Intune. And at the very start, we said, hey, maybe users aren't loving their devices being taken over by IT anymore. So what we've actually done is we've implemented conditional access inside of the Office applications using our Intune app SDK, which is an SDK which you can just download off of GitHub, and that allows you to implement conditional access controls directly into the any application that you want to. We've obviously done it into the Office applications. What that really means is that the applications have to be known to Intune before they're allowed access to the services, meaning that you can say that only, for example, the Outlook client is allowed access to Exchange. Only Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and the OneDrive application are allowed access to SharePoint or OneDrive for Business. And you can therefore block access to any of the other applications that are available anywhere in the world other than those applications. It also enables some other things that we'll get to a little later. Okay, is that architecture of the way that we do this clear? People are nodding. Cool. So some of the things that we can actually take into consideration with conditional access, we don't just take into consideration the device state itself. We can actually take into consideration the user state. So has that user been leaked out onto the internet in some way? We can also take into consideration that user's device location. Where are they accessing the connection from? In this case, I was going to do a demo using two different iPads later on. But I can't, because my demo environment is actually preventing me from having access from this iPad because it's never been used in Sweden before, and I only tried to do this an hour ago. So it's actually understood that this has traveled across the globe from Redmond to here, and it's not going to allow me access until I've gone through a whole load of conditional access verification to verify that I'm really who I say I am and I'm in Sweden. And unfortunately, I can't take it all the way through that process. So we can do location as one of the requirements. We can also do device state, as I said. We can do the user's group memberships. We can use information like, has the user completed multi-factor authentication recently, as states before we allow them access to any of the resources. Okay, so let's take a quick look at what that actually looks like inside of the Intune console from a configuration point of view. So this is the Intune console. Now this is the older Intune console. People look at this and go, "Oh, it's really ugly." And we know that, and we're moving everything into the new console, which looks like this. And it's not ugly. It doesn't require Microsoft Silverlight. It is nice and mobile friendly. It will render on any browser. You don't have to use Internet Explorer anymore. It will render inside of Chrome. It'll render in Edge. It'll render in Safari. You can use it on an iPad or a phone or anything. But this is where the policy currently lives inside of Intune. Now, to get to the policy, I've obviously had to go through the process of setting up Intune first. There's a ton of information out on the internet on how to get set up with Intune, so we're not going to go there. It's a deep dive, so we'll get further. Then I've actually gone into the policy node, and then you can see that I've got some conditional access policies. That's useful. Let me get zoom it up for you so you can actually see what's going on. So you can see I've got policies that are available for me for Exchange Online, for Exchange on-premises as well, if you've still got on-prem Exchange servers, for SharePoint Online, for Skype for Business Online, and for Dynamics CRM Online. We haven't bothered to change it to, say, Dynamics 365 at this point. The policies are all very similar to each other, but let's just take a look at what we've configured here. So this policy is, firstly, it's turned on. That's what the checkmark says. That's what this checkmark is saying just here, that it's turned on. Next, we're saying which platforms is this policy going to apply to. So if I actually say specific platforms, it will let me pick iOS, Android, Windows, Windows Phone as separate platforms. Or I can just say everything. And in this case, the session is more focused on iOS and Android devices, but it also works with Windows devices. And if those have been joined to your on-premises domain or to Azure Active Directory, and they are, or they are compliant with your MDM policy for Windows, then they will have access to the service. For iOS and Android, they just have to be compliant with your policy to get access to the service. The next thing down, kind of important, blocking non-compliant devices on the same platforms as Outlook. So what this actually means is that if a device, this iPad, isn't compliant, we're not going to allow you to get to Office Outlook web access in the browser. So it won't just block access to the mail client, it'll block access through the browser, which is obviously a fairly big development. And we've been asked for that a lot. Everybody previously that's implemented this has basically done it and then said, but we can still get to this stuff through the browser. So we've built out the ability to block through the browser. We haven't yet done that for SharePoint. Yes? No, that does apply to Windows as well. And if you are... So the question was, does the Outlook web access blocking apply to iOS and Android only, or does it also apply to MDM-managed Windows 10 devices? The answer is yes, it applies to MDM-managed Windows 10 devices as well. And if you use ADFS, we actually have some instructions on how to do it with ADFS. You have to do something slightly different. Okay. Then the next section is going to say, if the devices don't support Microsoft Intune, there are some devices that don't. So, for example, anything prior to iOS 8, whilst we actually support it, we can't get the company portal client onto the device anymore, so they're considered to be unsupported. So you can just block access to them. We also don't support BlackBerries, so you can block access to those as well if you need to. Then we get the option to be able to provide access to very specific user groups. So we can select the users that we want to have inside of the group. So in this case, I'm selecting all users, but we could also say we only want specific security groups to be blocked here. And then you can also do something really silly, which is obviously block yourselves from having access. The reason that I have that in there is because it's actually very, very easy with a demo environment to block your own access to your demo as you're building stuff out. You wouldn't in production actually put the administrator's users into an exclusion group. They're probably the users that you want to protect the most. And then for demo purposes, I have another group that's excluded as well. Okay, so once I've built that policy, I just have to save it. But this is all actually dependent on a policy being applied to the device. So let's go and take a look at a compliance policy. Reauthenticate. Okay, so again, compliance policies. So this is the policy that has to apply to those devices. Okay, edit that policy. So this is going to say, literally, these things have to be in place on the device before we trust them to allow them access to the network. So we're going to say that the device has to have an unlock password, will allow simple passwords. Again, for me, it's a demo environment. It's easy to do. Has a minimum password length. We can also say that things have to be encrypted, that we have password rollovers. We can say that on a Windows device, device health attestation has to be turned on. If you want to know what that is, come and ask me afterwards. We can also say that the device can't be rooted or jailbroken. And we can say, very importantly, that the device has to be of minimum version. So what I can actually do here is say that the minimum version has to be 9.3.5 for iOS. And now, no devices that are 9.3.4 or lower will be allowed access to my my Exchange services inside of Office 365. So that policy is put in place. Our conditional access is actually pretty clever, because what we're actually doing here is we're not checking that a policy has been applied to a device. We are checking that the policy has been set on the device. So they are two very distinct things. We aren't saying, has it been sent? We're saying, was it sent, received, and installed before we get access to the services? Some folks don't do that last check. So what you can actually find is that Android is good for this. You can send down a policy that says, on other platforms, this is, you can send down a policy that says, this device has to be encrypted. And then on your iOS, on your Android device, you can actually say, no to the encryption every time it asks you. And some MDM platforms will actually allow you to have access to services if they're using a conditional access approach. So, kind of strange. Okay. So that's how you configure conditional access inside of Intune. And then it will apply to the device. As soon as the user actually adds email to their device, what they will receive, because that was an Exchange Online policy, is a single email that says, your device is not compliant. You need to go and get compliant by installing the company portal and going through the enrollment process. It then walks them through the process, the MDM enroll their device, and they get access to the services. It can take up to 8 hours for that entire process to run through, purely because there are some device refresh processes in place, and also there are token timeouts from Azure Active Directory which control those kind of things. And there's nothing that you can do to tweak those settings at this point in time to be able to speed that process up. So we typically have no problem with that in a production environment, but when people are doing demos and trials, it gets really frustrating, because if you want to test something and then you have to wait 8 hours, well, our natural human reaction is to go refresh, 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 and it doesn't actually ever get there. And we take tons of support calls from people that haven't actually waited for the timeout period yet. And it gets to be super weird, because the you may be 6 hours into your Azure token, so it then only takes 6 hours on the first device you test, but the next device is actually, you're 45 minutes away from having to get a token refresh, so it happens almost instantly. And it feels very, very weird. But to end users, it's totally natural, because they take a little bit longer to do things. Okay, let's move on to the mobile device management side of things. Sorry, mobile application management side of things. What we have actually built here, I think, is one of the coolest things we've ever worked on. But it actually allows us inside of the apps to make a differentiation between what is work and what is personal, meaning that all of those things that you would expect we could do, we can do. So we can stop, cut, copy, and paste between two applications that don't trust each other. We can enable cut, copy, and paste between two applications that do trust each other. We can disable the ability to save as locations which are not corporate locations. So you can't move something from your corporate SharePoint to the local storage on an iPad, for example. And we also have the ability to be able to remotely wipe that content. So if the user has downloaded a file from SharePoint and you need to be able to say, oh, that user left the company and they downloaded that file from SharePoint, that's fine. You can do that. You can send a remote wipe request to their app. And as soon as they launch the app the next time, it will wipe the company data for that application. So in the case of email, if you're using Outlook, the next time they go into Outlook, the company Outlook profile will be deleted and all the information will go away. Obviously, we also do encryption inside of that. And our encryption on iOS uses iOS's inbuilt encryption engine, really good FIPS 140-2 compliant encryption engine on iOS, meaning that actually encryption on iOS doesn't cause a huge battery drain like it did on Android at certain points. It also means that it automatically gets all of those certifications from the various security companies. It also means that when a device gets locked, that's the point at which it gets encrypted, which means that the device has to have a PIN number on it. So if one of your corporate requirements, and we see this a lot, is that devices have to have a PIN number on there, but you don't want to be directly managing the device, we can do that through Man Without Enrollment. Okay, let's have a quick dive over to my other device here. We'll take a walk through Man Without Enrollment, hopefully. I've just manually switched it by moving the cable around. Okay, nobody steal my secret PIM code. So this is a device which has a few apps on it, but if I go into the settings on the device, you actually notice that just down here where it says VPN profile, what's missing is MDM. There is no management on this device whatsoever. So from a user's point of view, they haven't had to accept the scary red iOS message, but you've got access to be able to control the company applications that they're going to use on this device. In this case, what I've actually done is gone and installed on here the Outlook application. I got the Outlook application by going into my email, and what's happened here is that my email has said, oh, your company requires that you are using the Outlook app in order to be able to access Exchange Online. So you need to go to the App Store and get the app. So I'll hit the Get Started Now. It's going to take me to a nice browser window. It's the only way we can launch the App Store. So you get the app, takes me into the App Store, and it normally finds the Outlook app, hopefully. Yay. So it gives me the Outlook app. In this case, there's an update pending, and I've already installed it. So from there, I can go into Outlook. Now, the very first thing Outlook will actually make me do, as soon as I launch it, is set a PIN code. I've already set that PIN code, and that PIN code is driven by my policy. So I'll enter my secure PIN, and then I get access to my company email. I've also, on this device, I've just got my company email set up. So what I'm going to do is go and copy some of this information, copy the secret COLA formula, copy, and then I'm going to go and paste this into, let's use the Notes application on the device. Whoops. Now the Notes application isn't trusted. It's not got the Intune App SDK implemented in it. So just like Brad showed you yesterday, I think, I'm not going to get the option to be able to drop this information down here. It'll probably give me the paste button, but it won't paste the information. And the reason for that is that the application, because it doesn't have the Intune App SDK built into it and hasn't authenticated to Azure AD, it doesn't have the ability to decrypt the data which is on the clipboard on the device. So there's no way to get that information out of that clipboard. The same would actually be true if I went to, if I go into Word here. Word is a corporate application. It didn't prompt me for PIN because I just pinned into one of the other applications, which is a corporate application. And I've signed into this copy of Word with my corporate credentials for Office 365. It's authenticated me. It's provided policy to me. And it's now a trusted app. So I can just tap here, select paste, and it's going to let me paste the COLA formula in there. So that's just going to work perfectly, exactly what a user would expect. If I was to now go and hit the back button to do a save and save it to some other location, try and save it onto my iPad. Okay, it's not going to let me do it. It should be telling me it can't do it, but it's not going to let me do it. So it prevents me from having access to be able to move that data into other locations. Part of what's happening here, oh, there's one more thing. Inside of here as well, we've also configured a policy which is going to control and restrict where information is going to flow. So not only are we controlling and restricting cut, copy, and paste and the ability to open and save as files, we're also restricting the ability to be able to access our SharePoint site from anywhere else. So in this case, any links which are clicked inside of a managed application are going to open up inside of this blue Intune managed browser. Now, this is just a wrap of WebKit. It's just exactly the same browser that you get inside of Safari, all the same bits, but you have control over the application. So you have the same cut, copy, paste preventions. So I can't, for example, go into one of these go into a document inside of the Word web app and then be able to copy data out of the Word web app inside of this browser. It's providing me that extra level of security on that device. And over here, I signed in earlier on this device with my corporate credentials, but it's telling me that something was unusual, so we've blocked access from this device. So again, we're blocking access outside of the incorrect browser. All of that is achieved through the settings that we've put in place inside of Intune. So let me switch back to this machine. Yeah, sure. Ah, okay, I'll get to that. So the question was, is it possible to install those applications if the device has been jailbroken? I will get to that in a few seconds. So essentially, this is what's happening with... okay, that's great. Let's see if we can get the screen to show up properly. Hey, okay. So essentially what's happening here is that we have direct management of those applications. When I take the Word application, if you've ever done this on your iOS device or your Android device, the very first thing it asks you to do is sign in with some details. So as soon as I enter my Office 365 credentials into that application, that app does all of that flow that we talked about earlier. It goes off to Azure Active Directory to get an authentication token to give to Office 365, at which point Azure Active Directory is checking to see if policy has been sent to that device, to that application, and if it has, then it's going to issue the token, and you're going to have access. If it's not, you won't get the token, you won't get access to the information. So again, this all comes down through the authentication flow. Nothing through the MDM channel on the device. And one of the reasons that that's very important is who has an MDM that isn't Intune. So you're using Mobiline or AirWatch or one of the other ones. Okay, only one or two people. Okay, so you can still use all of this with Mobiline and AirWatch. We will be able to work on top of their MDM perfectly. We designed it with that in mind. You will obviously still have to buy licenses for EMS. So over time, you may want to question whether you still want to use Mobiline or AirWatch for this, but it's definitely the possibility to use this. And we also provide more security than they can, because we can do the multiple identities thing inside of the applications. Let me step through this. There we go. So the architecture that actually is in play here is essentially the user goes and gets the app from the store, logs in with their Office 365 credentials. Once they've done that, we verify that the app has access to Office 365. Intune applies the MAM policies to the applied apps. Access to Office 365 is granted, and then the user carries on as per normal. If you don't put this in place, all the user has to do is go and get hold of the apps from the App Store, and then they can use them on any device that they want to. They don't have to be MDM managed in order to be able to have access, because the apps don't understand the MDM management from anything other than Intune. Okay, so let's show you how we actually put this in place. Let's Alt-Tab into the right place. So inside of the new company portal, we have the Intune Mobile Application Management Console. And in order to find that, literally, all you have to do is type in Intune into the portal.azure.com site. Then it's going to bring up this first blade over here, and it's going to give you some high-level information. Who inside of your organization has the policy applied to them? Users that have been flagged for having done something wrong. Users who need a wipe request, who have sent a wipe request to them. It's also giving us a status difference between iOS and Android as well. And you can see that I have one device managed there for each. Okay, so let's go build some policy and apply this stuff. We go into app policy. From within app policy, you can see I have a few that have already applied. I just have to hit add a policy. I'm going to select my iOS policy so that we can show you some of the things that you're able to do once you've got this protection in place. I'm first off going to go down to policy settings. And then from within policy settings, this is what I can have control over. I can decide whether or not I want to enable data relocation, literally preventing the ability to use iOS, iTunes backup and iCloud backup. Next, we want to say, what apps can we transfer data to? Meaning these apps can share data with other apps on this device. So that's going to say Word can share with Excel, but Word can't share with the inbuilt Notes application on iOS. And you can do that to any application which implements the Intune App SDK. Next up, what apps will receive data from other apps? We have this generally set to all apps, and honestly, most organizations leave this at all apps because it means that you can go and take a photograph on Instagram and then use it inside of your PowerPoint presentation if you want to. It doesn't get in the user's way, and it doesn't actually stop any data from leaking outside of the company. The next option is to be able to enable the prevention of save as. Nothing else can prevent the save as functions inside of the Office applications. The next option under there is to manage the cut, copy, and paste restrictions. Then that option to enable the manage browser was set to yes. Whoops, let's do that again. Was set to yes just here, stopping us from being able to open up any restricted web content outside of manage browser. This is going to require that the iOS device is encrypted. We can also disable contact sync. This we set to no. So what happens in this case is the contacts from your Exchange server through Outlook will synchronize into the contacts on an iOS device. And the reason that we do that is because most organizations want their end users to have a good dialer experience from their internal address list inside of their phone book on iOS. And unless you do sync, you can't do that. When you send a wipe request to the device, we will wipe out the contacts that have been created during that sync process. So those contacts, and that's very commonly asked for, because say you have a salesperson, and that person is syncing down their sales contacts, and that salesperson is then fired, you don't want them to take all of the sales contacts with them. So we often get asked to turn that on. We can also disable printing, which means that those applications cannot use iPrint on an iOS device, the same on an Android device. We can require PIN access to the device, to the application. So literally, that's where you saw me having to enter a four-digit PIN. We can say how many times the user has to attempt a PIN before the PIN gets reset. When we reset the PIN, what actually happens is that the user has to re-authenticate to Azure AD in order to be able to set a new PIN. So they've had to provide an additional authentication factor in that case. And you can add MFA on top of that. This is the anti-stupidity button, which stops the ability to set 1234 or four zeros or a number of the same character. And you can also obviously set PIN length. And on iOS and Android now, as of last week, we support being able to use fingerprint in order to be able to access the application. So on iOS, you're using Touch ID in order to be able to access the app. You don't have to type in a PIN number to access the application. A little further down, I actually particularly like these settings at the bottom here. So these settings are, to answer this gentleman's question just here, this is root and jailbreak protection inside of the app. So this means that every time the app is launched, it's going to do your root and jailbreak detection. Or every time the user tries to use the application, it's going to do that detection. The next section underneath that is timeout access for rechecking requirements. And then right at the bottom here, just kind of hidden away, is offline interval before data is wiped. What that means is that the data will be wiped on this device after 90 days if the user doesn't reauthenticate to Azure Active Directory or use the application through their PIN. So why is that useful? Well, if somebody actually really truly loses or has their device stolen, you may not be able to send a wipe request to the device to wipe the information. This will actually self-destruct the application's data after that set period of time. It's the only way that I've ever seen that we can actually do this. Okay, so that's the policy. Having made the changes to the policy that we want, we then have to go and target specific applications. These are all of the inbuilt Microsoft applications which we automatically populate into the screen here for you. So you can see that there's a whole raft of them. They vary between iOS and Android because it depends on when the app team inside of Microsoft for the iOS version or the Android version actually takes the SDK and does the update. But we're adding more applications all the time into that, pretty much, I think. The most requested ones are actually there. Yammer was one of the highest requested that we needed to get added in, and that got added in very recently. We also have Skype for Business, the managed browser, etc. You then, very simply, apply the policy to user groups inside of your organization. These can be the same groups that you're using for Office 365 management. So what you could do is apply this to everybody inside of the marketing department, or you could apply the policy to all users inside of your organization, thus protecting everybody with this policy. Because remember, it's like insurance. Nobody actually needs this until they start to go into the App Store to get hold of the application. It's giving you that insurance policy. And then general, obviously, just gives you the ability to set the name, etc. Step back a couple here. I want to show you a couple of other pieces. So just down here in settings, I can send my wipe requests. So from here, I can actually go select a specific user who I want to send a wipe request to, enter the user's details, and I can then select the specific device for that user. So I can target one user's device with one particular application on it. Helpful if the user has an iPhone and an iPad and they lose their iPad, you can then send it without wiping it out from their iPhone device as well. Then a little further down, in preview right now, we have the ability to be able to add your own line of business apps. So as I mentioned, you can go to the location on GitHub, download the Intune App SDK, or wrap your own line of business applications and take advantage of all of these same features. Then a little further down underneath that is conditional access for Exchange Online inside of this. So this is where I've set the policy that on my iPad caused the inbuilt mail client to say, no, you need to go and use Outlook. So this policy literally is saying these are the apps that are allowed access to your Office 365 Exchange Online environment. And in this case, you can see that not only is Outlook listed there, but we've added in the Skype for Business client, because Skype for Business uses Exchange Online because it needs to get to your calendar so that it can get hold of the Skype meetings that you're accessing. SharePoint, OneDrive, and the next OneDrive down for Android, they're all in there because those applications also need access to your Exchange Online in order to be able to share information about your contacts, etc., for those applications to function correctly. Once that's in place, you literally say which user groups are going to be restricted by policy and which user groups are exempted from policy. And then that's it. It's applied to your devices. All a user has to go and do is go to the store, get hold of the app, sign in with their creds, and they're protected. And you're protected from them accidentally leaking data and from them accessing your services with applications that you don't trust. Okay. That was a whistle-stop tour through Office 365 protections. Intune. If you've got any questions, I'm more than happy to answer anything that you put your hands up for. We've run over by about 10 seconds. So I'm more than happy to stand around and answer questions afterwards or whatever you guys need in order to answer things. You can find me everywhere all over the internet. Honestly, it's quite embarrassing. And you will be able to ask whatever you need to. So whatever you need in order to be able to go get deployed and make your Office 365 environment more safe, please do it.